All right, good evening. Let me welcome you to our evening service. 6 o'clock is here, and you found out a lot of you had a dark drive here with that time change. We enjoyed that extra hour last night, but probably not enjoying that darkness by 5:15, 5:20, depending on where you live, but such is the way it is. But we're glad to have you here tonight. The light is on in here. Folks are bright and cheerful, I trust, and ready to worship the Lord together. We're glad to have all of you here. Looking forward again tonight to hearing one last time from Pastor Creighton. So glad to have him and his wife with us throughout the week, and they'll be heading out, as we said, early in the morning, flying home to Florida, so keep them certainly in your prayers. So again, glad to have you here. Appreciate mic number two tonight, and mic number one did this morning. They tag team when Shane or Charlie's not here. Grab that hymn book as he comes for opening hymn.
Why am I number two and he's number one? I don't know. He's older. Was there a vote I didn't hear about? We're going to go to number 526. In my heart there rings a melody. You can stand for this one. Now pay attention on the chorus. When we start the chorus, those first couple of notes, we're going to slow it way down because this song moves along. It's a song of joy, right? A melody in our heart. 526. I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis the melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love. I love the Christ who died on Calvary, for he washed my sins away. He put within my heart a melody, and I know it's there to stay. In my heart there melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. 'Twill be my endless theme in glory, with the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song of glorious harmony, when the chords of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love.
Good singing, nice job.
Amen. I'll invite you to stay standing as our men come for the night's offering. We'll praise the Lord, start the service out with a word of prayer. Again, glad to have you here. After the prayer, you may have a seat as the men receive the offering tonight. Father, we thank you that as believers, as Christians, those saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should have within our heart a melody, Lord. Lord, we know that we can look around, as we heard this morning, at circumstances. We can look around at the world situation. We can get bogged down with things that bring anxiety and worry. But Lord, I pray we keep our eyes squarely on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we be in the Word of God, trusting the promises of God, knowing that you cannot lie, Lord, and you are ever faithful. And Lord, we know that one day, what's all here on earth will soon come to pass. Lord, I pray we be living in light of eternity. I pray we be sharing the gospel with joy. I pray we be a servant, Lord, coming to church to serve others, Lord. And I thank you for the privilege to worship together tonight on this Sunday night. Lord, we ask again, use this offering for your honor and glory. Be with many of our church family not able to be here tonight, perhaps because of distance or the darkness or because of illness. And I pray they be encouraged even now as they watch and listen to the service tonight. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
We're going to go to number 109. I find it interesting. All right. Preacher this morning was talking about our hope feeling dead, right? And from Lamentations. And later on, but I remembered these things. And now his hope was alive. So we sang what about, in our heart ringing a melody, right? So we've got, what kind of song do we have in our heart? Do we have a melody in our heart that's ringing, that we can't wait to get there and praise the Lord in heaven someday? Or do we go through life, it's a grind, I got to do this now, I got to do this now, and even saved, we do that, right? And he also talked about what did the preacher remember? It was God's faithful, right? So if you've gotten to page 109, or you got into hymn number 109, page numbers and hymn numbers different. If you've gotten to hymn number 109, we're singing Great is Thy Faithfulness. I know you picked these out before you ever decided you were coming or what the Lord was going to put on your heart to preach to us, but it's just funny how the Lord works. You got melodies in our hearts. We've got Great is Thy Faithfulness. Hymn number 109, Stand as We Sing. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassion, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be.
passed over in the glory land, and I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land. I am on my way to those mansions fair, just over in the glory land, there to sing God's praise and his glory share, just over in the glory land. What a joyful thought that my Lord I'll see, just over in the glory land, there to sing God's praise and his glory share, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, they'll join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land. With the blood washed throne I will shout and sing, just over in the glory land, glad hosannas to Christ the Lord and King, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land.
Before we dismiss our Tykes for Truth, we'll let them slip out here in just a little bit again. So glad, it's been a joy to have Pastor Tom and his wife Jenny with us this last few days. They flew in on Thursday and headed out tomorrow to Florida. Again, if you weren't here this morning, both of them knew each other through high school, married, Lord gave them children. They were doing well, successful, started serving the Lord, but God called him to preach in his late 20s. And then by faith, they moved to Rhode Island. They were from Michigan, moved to Rhode Island, planted a church there in 1975 in a predominantly Catholic area there in cold New England, where it's impossible for God to work, right? And yet they were faithful, and I appreciate their ministry. I appreciate getting to know them. Sweet Spirit, been able to meet with them and talk with them, and very kind and gracious to answer questions. I picked his brain a little bit from a faithful older pastor, and I appreciate, again, their ministry. Miss Jenny on yesterday's ladies' seminar, Pastor Tom both this morning in Sunday school and this morning's service, and now again tonight. And so if you haven't had a chance to meet them, right after the service, I'll be in the back one final time, and certainly be praying for them tomorrow as they have, I think, a 6:30 flight out of the local airport back down to Florida. All right, so Tykes for Truth can go ahead and slip out right now. My wife and Miss Karen, and we'll ask Pastor Creighton to come on up here one time, final time tonight with the Word of God.
Well, thank you for the kind invitation and for the kind introduction today, this morning, and then tonight. We have thoroughly enjoyed being here, and it's good to be here yesterday and see all the ladies come and see your church pulling together and laboring to service these ladies that came. And a number of those ladies, I'm sure, were blessed by the fellowship and the Word of God, and we trust there'll be fruit from it in the days ahead. We know that there's fruit from ministries that put emphasis on the Word of God and emphasis on helping people to grow in the Lord, and so we're very grateful. I would like to say thank you to Pastor Boyer and his dear wife for their kind invitation, for my wife coming to be in the ladies' meeting, and then, of course, preacher, thank you for inviting me to preach in your pulpit. And Brother Crane-Mard, I so appreciate getting to know you and your dear wife and seeing a little bit of the history. I do now know that you did once have black hair, so that helps me. And so I noticed that something that happens to preachers, their hair turns white. It has nothing to do with pressure or battles. It just has to do with age, I guess. But it's been a joy to be here in this good church and to see a little bit of history of the church and the growth of the church and the buildings of the church. Some of you folks go way back and you can give history. You have some wonderful memories of the former days when there was other people here. And some people have gone on to other ministries. Some have gone on to be with the Lord, and that's what the ministry is all about, to keep on presenting the gospel to people that need the Lord and to honor the Lord with our lives. And so you've gathered here tonight for fellowship. You've gathered here tonight for the Word of God. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and open to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to draw your attention to the words of our Savior in his message to the Sermon on the Mount. There's so many wonderful subjects that he dealt with as he preached to his disciples and preparing them for ministry, preparing them to be to have impact on the people and whom they would minister to in his absence. And so I want to first of all say praise the Lord tonight for his goodness in our lives. My wife of over 60 years now, and she's been a great asset to me and to our ministry through the years, far more than she's ever been given credit for. But she's been an amazing wife and mother, and she helps keep me in line. That helps too, and I appreciate so much her ministry. And I sat out and listened to her speak yesterday. I sat out here and listened a little bit, and I have the experience of knowing that she's alone and or she's at her desk or she's somewhere studying the Word of God, and I know she put a lot of time and preparation for this event. And as I listened to her, I just was very blessed to listen to how she bore her heart and gave those truths that God had impressed on her. And so she walks with the Lord. She loves the Lord, and she loves the Word of God, and I'm certainly grateful for that. Well, we're looking at tonight Matthew chapter 5 and these words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray that this will be a message that will just encourage us to take these words, and if we have not been actively engaged in what we're going to talk about tonight, that we would just examine ourselves to see whether we are the individuals that God intends for us to be. And so we're looking at Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, where the Lord states, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And we've all heard the analogies here and the allegories here, not the allegories but the metaphors here, of the Lord giving indication that we that have been left and arrive on this earth and come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we are light and salt in this world, and certainly light to a dark world and salt to a world that needs to be preserved and saved. And so I'm grateful that the Lord not only saves us, but he uses us in some way to advance this wonderful gospel that he's given to us and that we've experienced. And so tonight, as we look at this subject, I want us to take into consideration the testimony of the believer and how this light that the Lord talks about here reflects upon the fact that we have a testimony And that testimony is the means by which we shed light in this world. And so as we look at this portion of the Word of God, these few verses tonight, may we just allow the Lord to open our hearts. And even as I pray now, Father, we thank you for what we've heard tonight, for the good music, and thank you for just looking into these films and these videos of the former days in this church when they were doing building and expanding, and the faces that and people that were in these videos tonight, some of them are still here, some of them have moved on, or are serving the Lord, or have married and moved to another place. But we thank you for the thousands of messages that have gone out from this pulpit or this church and this property. We thank you for the thousands of people that have come here and come through the doors and sat in this auditorium or auditoriums of the past and have heard the gospel. We thank you for the light that this church has been to this community and to the people in which have come to hear the Word of God here. And so, Lord, help us tonight as we look at this. I pray that you'd work in through my heart and my life. And Lord, I thank you for saving me. And I thank you for the testimony that you've given me and the truth that I have to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And now use this tonight to encourage your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This message tonight reminds us of the great opportunity that we as believers have to bring hope to those that need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It amazes me that the Lord can use us to impact on an eternal destiny, the eternal destiny of people that we give the gospel to. Romans chapter 10 reminds us that without the preaching of the gospel, without individuals to take the gospel, there's a void in this world for the reality that people need the Lord and others that need to take the gospel to them. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." And I begin this message by just taking into consideration the words of our Savior when he says, "Ye are the light of the world." And we take these words as being a commissioned light. We're all commissioned as individuals that know Jesus Christ our Savior and have a testimony. I hope that tonight that you have a testimony of conversion, a testimony of salvation, that you can state with confidence that the Lord Jesus Christ on a certain day, maybe you don't remember the date or the hour, but you remember the time, you remember the experience where the Lord Jesus, where you were confronted with your sin, confronted with your nature, your sin nature, and you came to the place under conviction that you knew that you needed the Savior, you needed Christ as your Savior, you needed your sins forgiven. You called on the Lord, you prayed out to the Lord, and you asked him to come into your heart and life, to forgive your sins, and that Jesus Christ washed your sins away. And at that time, the Holy Spirit performed this wonderful miracle, the new birth, and you can give testimony of being saved, being born again. And that happens on a specific time. Now, I was saved when I was 10 years old under the preaching of an evangelist, and I cannot tell you the date. I can tell you approximately the time because I know the dates of the crusade that was down in Detroit, Michigan. And I was raised by a Christian mother. I had my dad and mom were both Christians, but my mother was far more faithful. In my early days, my dad was nominally consistent going to church, but not like my mother. My mother had the greater influence on myself and my brother, who also had been in the ministry. He's been in the ministry for a number of years. And I thank the Lord that I go back and I give a testimony of having a mother that was faithful and a dad later on in life yielded his life to the Lord and had an outstanding testimony of loving the Lord and wanting others to hear the gospel. And in his dying days, the reality of what the Lord had done in his life from early, around mid-40s, all the way till he died when he was 83. But he could give testimony of being saved, testimony of God working in his life. And doctors that were working on him before he died and trying to comfort him, and hospice nurses trying to comfort him because they were going to detach his pacemaker. He had a pacemaker. They were going to detach that because hospice detaches any possibility of extended life, and they're trying to comfort him, and so they were trying to ease him and say, "Mr. Crichton, well, we want you to know that we're going to have to detach this instruments in you, and it's probably going to mean we want to make you more comfortable because you're going to pass from this world probably very shortly." And he said, you know, he says, "You can go ahead and detach it. There's no problem with that," because he said, "I'm going to heaven, and I want you to know that I have a wonderful Savior that I trusted in many years ago." And he gave a testimony before he died he said, "I have a wonderful Savior." And doctors would come in the room, and he would, if he couldn't say much to them, he'd say, "I want you to know that I have a wonderful Savior." And he said that many times. And so when we buried him, and on his headstone it says, "I have a wonderful Savior," yet leaving a testimony of the grace of God in his life, what the Lord did for him later in life, and how he come to know the Lord Jesus Christ intimately and love the Lord, serve the Lord, and had major emphasis and input in our lives and ministry in Rhode Island, helped us. We built our building there, our church building. So I know what it is to hear the testimonies of folks that have come to realize what Jesus Christ has done for them and can give a time and a place and an experience of being born again. I hope you have that tonight. If you know that you have that experience, then know that God, the Bible says, "Ye are the light of the world," and God wants to take your testimony and my testimony while we walk on this earth, and he wants to use it to bring light and bring light in the experience to others that they might know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so as we think about that tonight, let's think about our personal testimony and how the Lord uses our personal testimony to take this message that can help others that are in darkness know the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, "Let your light," and the first thing that we want to, and I've mentioned it already, want we to take into consideration, this light that the Lord has commissioned us is a personal light, or it's our personal testimony. I would tonight just ask you to evaluate whether you have a personal testimony as to when and how, and you can put an experience, you can state an experience when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now I have, as you have, and I know the preacher back here has witnessed to scores of people, probably hundreds of people, and asked them if they know where they're going when they die, do they know where they're going to spend eternity. I'm sure that many of you, we're coming here, just flying here, and a man was sitting next to me, and I was reading the Bible, and I was looking at some of my notes, and he asked me, he asked me where I was going, and I said, "We're going," and mentioned we're coming here. And so he talked a little bit, and I just turned to him, and I said, I mentioned I was a pastor, and I said, I want to ask you a question. I said, if you were to stand and die and stand in God's presence, and he was to ask you, "For what reason should I let you into heaven?" what would you tell him? And I, for the most part, I almost can expect what people are going to say if they do not have a biblical testimony. He said, "Well," he said, I would say that I've lived a pretty good life, and I've tried to be a good husband, a good father. And you know where that's coming from? He is suggesting that people can go to heaven through affiliation, the church affiliation, or their good works or their good deeds. And he was fastening himself to that. So I shared with him the gospel, and briefly shared the gospel with him. And I said, "If that you could get to heaven that way, here's what happened. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died a sinner's death, was put in a tomb. But before he was put in the tomb on the cross, he bore our sins in his body on the tree. And while he was hanging on the cross, God punished him in my behalf for my sins and your sins. And I said, what do you think? That God would want to let you go to heaven, or me go to heaven, by my efforts and my good works, if in fact the Lord Jesus Christ has provided the way through his sacrifice? And you know what he said? He just said, well, he said, you know, I just want to think simplistically. I want to think that by being a pretty good person and doing my best, that I think that's going to be sufficient. It just went right over his head. And all of us probably have been with people that you've tried to give the gospel to, and it's went over their head, and they do not understand, or they do not take into consideration the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the truth is, this man did not have a testimony. Through the years, you have probably witnessed to people and asked them that question. I mentioned this morning that in 2015, we were in Malta, and for the Bible Baptist Church of Malta, which is a miracle in itself just being there. Malta is inundated with Catholicism. There are 365, the island's only, which is considered a country. It's 20 miles long and about 16 miles wide. There's 365 representations of chapels and cathedrals and churches that are Catholic, and the people of Malta are dominated by Catholicism. One of them gave that testimony. But in the church that we're filling in for, the people who would come there, some of those people would come from hotels. They had a van service. They'd go around to hotels where people are there visiting, and they'd bring them to the church, and they would have the opportunity to minister to people and give them the gospel. Some of those people never come back, but some of those people trusted the Lord and left there and went to other places. Well, there's a lady that came every Sunday while we were there for 3 months. And a lady came there every Sunday. She's a British lady. And she sat and listened to she'd listen to preaching. She'd move her head, shake her head. And a polite lady, very dignified British lady, had a British brogue. And we just enjoyed getting to know her. And then we asked if we could come visit her. She lived in an assisted living place. And so my wife and I went to see her and went into her room. She had like a little in the assisted living place, and talked to her for a few moments and asked her a little bit about her life. And she mentioned about her husband and how he had died. And he's just a wonderful man. And he was a Christian. And he was a wonderful man. He loved me. He's kind to me, and I miss him. I miss him immensely. And she's saying this in her British brogue. And I said, her name, it was Paula Purdy. I said, Miss Purdy, I said, what about you? Could you give us your testimony of becoming a Christian? I just took for granted she was there and listened well, and you know, agreeing with things that were being said from the pulpit. And she said, well, she said, I don't have a testimony. I said, well, you mean you don't understand what a testimony is? No, I don't have a testimony. My husband had a testimony, but I don't have a testimony. And I asked her this question. I said, Mrs. Purdy, why don't you have a testimony? She said, well, there'd be no possibility that I would ever be deserving to be right with God or to go to heaven someday. That just can't happen to me because I've been such a horrible person. I was just shocked when she said that. And I said, well, have you ever considered how you can have assurance that Jesus Christ can and will forgive your sins and give you eternal life? And she said, well, I didn't consider that because I don't think that I'm worthy of it. And then I shared a number of scriptures with her, and she came to the place, said, if that's true and that's what I need to do, she prayed the sinner's prayer. And when she did that, I asked her after she prayed the sinner's prayers, as many have, and I know the preacher's done this, where do you have settled in your heart now? And she said, well, I, believing what you've told me, I would go to heaven, not because I deserve to, but because the Lord Jesus has provided a way for me to have my sins forgiven. And all of a sudden, Pamela Purdy had a testimony. Her testimony is, I'm saved by the grace of God, and heaven is going to be my eternal home. Now, that has happened a number of times, and that's happened a number of times in this church, and some of you folks have witnessed to people, and you've asked them about their testimony, finding out whether they have a true conversion. And you come to the place as to whether this person is genuinely saved. And if they're not, then it is our responsibility to let our light shine, and the knowledge that we have of the testimony that we have, we're to pass on to them. Jesus said these words, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So for the next few moments, let's take into consideration this statement from the Lord, this mandate from the Lord to let your light so shine. First of all, we want to take into consideration that this is a personal testimony. I hope tonight that you have a personal testimony. Let your light so shine. What does this entail by let your light so shine? That has to do, the so shine has to do with the projection of your testimony. That is, the light that God has given to us in our testimony and the light that God has given to us to have influence in other people's lives, there is the fact that our testimony is to be a testimony that can be projected. That is, it doesn't stay in one place. It isn't something that's confined. There are people that say, there's two things I never talk about, and one of them is religion, because it's private, and I don't talk about it. Well, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, in people that have the Lord, it is not something private, it is something that is to be public. And we are to let our light so shine before men. And here's what the Lord was saying, that the light that God has given to us is to be something that spreads from where we are to other people and to other places. Let your light so shine. That has to do with the projection of our testimony. And then he goes on to say, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So shine. So they have the projection of a testimony. How far has your testimony gone in your world that you live in? All of us live in a... Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All of us live in our world someplace. We don't all live in the whole world at the same time, but we do live in parts of the world at different times. When we leave this building tonight, we will go to the place, we will go to the room that's been provided for us graciously, and we'll rest there. But that is not our home. That's just a place. That's a guest place, and we're there temporarily. But where we live is a place in which our light is to shine. The Bible gives indication that we are to let our light shine, first of all, in our home and the people that are around, the immediate people that are around us. Let your light shine before men. Who are the people? That is a reality that we are to let our light shine before people. And those people are within proximity of our capability of reaching them. That would take into consideration first family and then neighbors and coworkers and people that we have some connection with. God intends for us to be a light in the place in which he's put us or where he's settled us. That may be your neighborhood. I heard some of these folks talking, I believe, is this morning or out in the foyer about inviting people in their close in their community. And the truth is, people that come to church, most people that come to church are people that have been invited by a friend or a family member, and it's people that have given some interest, and for some reason, because of their connection with that person, they agree to go visit a church or church service. And this church probably has had multiple visitors through the years by being invited by a neighbor or friend that invited them to come, and they came, and they heard the gospel, and in many cases have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So let your light shine before men, having to do with the people that observe our testimony. Several years ago, and I say this because the Lord was preparing us for where we were going to New England and settling in an Italian community, and knowing that we would be ministering to people that were under the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church, and not knowing exactly how that was going to play out, that primarily that's the kind of people we'd be talking to. And knowing the deep roots that people have in religion and their family tradition, we had pretty good idea that unless the Lord intervened and the Lord helped us, there was no possible way that we are going to see people that are going to turn to the gospel and turn away from their religion and turn away from their past and their family traditions and embrace Christ as their Savior. And so the Lord, I think, helped prepare our way by having some neighbors that were from the Catholic Church. And before we left to go to New England, and we were only weeks away from loading up our moving vehicles and moving our furniture to New England. There's a family that lived across the street from us, the Woodstocks, and my wife and I, because their children had come to our vacation Bible school, so we had some connection with that family. And so we decided that we cannot leave here and go to a place in New England to give the gospel to people there when we haven't tried to give the gospel to the people that are here in our own community. And so we made an appointment, went over to their house and sat down with them and proceeded to share the gospel with them as clear as we possibly could. And we believe that it was our obligation to allow the light that the Lord had given to us and the light that he wanted to use through our lives to project that to them and give it to them and give them an opportunity to know Jesus Christ, their Savior. So I sat there and gave them the gospel, and they said, "Well, we understand that's we know what that means, and we have that." And talked about being born again and the cross and the Christ bearing our sins on the tree, and I explained all of that, and said, "Well, we may not say it the same way, but we do understand what you're saying. And we do believe that we're okay just the way we are. But thank you for sharing your message with us tonight, and trust that things are going to work out for you as you move away." We went home. We're walking home to our home. We lived just across the street. You could see their house from our house. And we're walking home. I said to my wife, I said, "Jenny, honey, they obviously do not see it. They're blind to the... they're blind to the truth. The Bible says if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are blind." That is, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are without Christ, and the gospel has been they've been blinded by Satan, and that they do not see, they cannot see it, and unless the Lord opens the minds and the eyes of folks, they cannot see it. So we gave the gospel to them, and we went on and made our plans, and we were there a few more weeks. We moved away and went to New England, settled there, and we forget about the Woodstock family. And then about 5 years later, we get a letter from this family that they tell us they moved as well. He was an engineer for General Motors, and they moved to another location. He took another position and a job. So they moved away and settled in another place. And lo and behold, somebody came by their home and invited their kids to go to vacation Bible school. And they sent them. And the preacher went back after they sent their children, gave them the gospel. Oh, we did not see it, but we do now. And Ken and his dear wife, Diane, trusted Jesus Christ, their Savior. They tell us that in the letter. We did not see it, but we see it now. We want to thank you for sowing the seed in our hearts and giving us this mentality of that we have to have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ and trust him as our personal Savior. The ironic thing is that little girl that was in a house, the 10-year-old daughter, would come over to our home and play at our home and with our kids. And my wife would talk to them, talk to this little girl about the Lord, and talk to her about, and invited her to Vacation Bible School. And so my wife one day asked her if she had a Bible, and she said, "No, I don't have a Bible." My wife said, "I'm going to give you a Bible." So she gave her a Bible. It was a red Bible, and said, "This is your personal Bible. Now, I just hope that you'll take time to read this, and I'd be glad to answer any questions you have about the Bible." So she took it home. That was the last time anything was said about that Bible. And then just about a year ago, 2 years ago, my daughter called and told my wife. She said, "You need to go online and Cherise Woodstock, who is now married, she's giving a testimony on the internet of her salvation. And Mom needs to hear it." So she goes to the, she goes and gets online and finds this testimony of Cherise Woodstock, who now has a married name. She's giving a testimony. She's sitting there. She's a pastor's wife. She's giving a testimony of this lady that lives across the street from us. She would talk to me about the Lord and talk to me about the Bible. And she said, "That had an impression on me, and I couldn't forget it." And she said, "I took that Bible, and I did read it, but I kept it." And she holds it up. "This is the Bible that lady gave me many years ago. That's why I'm a Christian." That's why she could give a testimony. That is a picture of letting your light so shine that men might see, men might come to know the truth of the gospel. May it be that we have this in our hearts, that God has given us a mandate, Jesus Christ has given us this mandate to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. So let your light so shine, the projection of the testimony. And then there is the reality of the purpose of the testimony, to glorify our Father which is in heaven. God has given us a way to glorify Him through letting our light shine before men, and that they might know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. May it be tonight that we see that there is a purpose for this statement of let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There's an individual in the Bible that the Bible says had a testimony that pleased the Lord. I want you to look at it just, if you would, just for a moment, in the book of Jude. The book of Jude. And then if you back up to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, I'm just going to read a couple verses here. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, it says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." And this testimony that Enoch had, there's not a lot said in the Bible. As you probably know, there's not a lot said about Enoch, but there's three or four places in which his name is mentioned. And then there's some content about his, I think it has to do with the testimony that he had on this earth. And part of that testimony is found in the book of Jude, verses 14 through 16. I'm just going to read that. And then we're going to go back to the book of Genesis and just look at one other place where Enoch is introduced in the scriptures as having a testimony to please God. It says, "And Enoch also, the seventh of Adam, prophesied these and saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers and complainers, and walk in their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words." Enoch, obviously, according to this, he had an enlightening testimony because he revealed the sins of the people of his day. We find more about that in the book of Genesis, and I'm just going to read from there, and then we'll just make a summary of Enoch's testimony. Genesis in chapter 5. It says in verse 21, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 300 years and 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." The Bible says that he lived for 365 years. At 65, as the Bible says, is when he became a father. And it's from that point on that Enoch, the Bible reveals to us, that Enoch walked with the Lord for 300 years. Can you imagine living? We've read just a little description of what it was like in Enoch's day, the ungodliness that was there, and how Enoch lived and had this engaging testimony, this enduring testimony, this enlightening testimony in an ungodly world, and lived 300 years walking with the Lord. Isn't it amazing that in the world that we live in, and we look around and we see all the sin and the corruption that's in our world, and see the things in which are a defilement to the children that live in this world, our children, people that are exposed to these things. Enoch lived in an ungodly time, and yet the Bible reveals that Enoch walked with the Lord in that time and for 300 years. If we walk for the Lord for 30 years, it's a long time, or 40 years, or 50 years, or 60 years. It's a long time. But the scripture reveals that Enoch, it reveals this to us. It's possible to have a godly testimony in an ungodly world and live that way consistently because of God's enablement, and to have an enlightening and enduring testimony, an engaging testimony that gives a statement against that kind of living, and yet is capable to continue to give the gospel to people that will respond to it and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Thank the Lord for the men of God that walked with the Lord, those that we read about in the Old Testament, Noah, and here Enoch walked with God. And it is for us in our day and age that we walk with the Lord in a time there is ungodliness and all the things that are going on. Jesus Christ gave this mandate to his disciples that they were now the light of the world. And he stated to them, "So let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I hope tonight that you have this testimony that you can give from your lips and heart with confidence that Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. There was a time and place in which I trusted him as my Savior. I just say this in closing. The exhortation that the Lord gave to his disciples to let their light so shine, the last part of that statement that he makes to them, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick that giveth light unto all that are in the house. The Bible says, and Jesus said, if you have a light and you are letting your light shine, he said, don't put it under a bushel, but let your light shine. Don't conceal your light, but make your light conspicuous. Make your light to be seen by those that are in your house and those that are around you. The thought here is that they were to make their light to be conspicuous. Then he said, let your light so shine that they might see your good works. And then this last thing, don't put your light under a bushel. I think there's some ways in which we can have a negative impact on our light. First of all, that bushel could represent sin that's in one's life. It could represent selfishness or selfish pursuits or even silence. There's so many people around us that need the gospel, and so many times we're silent. We don't tell them, we don't reveal to them the truth about the gospel, and we let them remain in that state without ever warning them or telling them what Jesus Christ has provided for them. May the Lord help us tonight just to consider these thoughts from the Lord, that we are to let our light so shine before men that they might see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads in prayer, please. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that the gospel is still available to those that will hear it and those that will receive it and those that will embrace it. Lord, could it be possible tonight there's someone here that does not have a biblical, genuine, authentic testimony of conversion, of calling on Jesus Christ and setting everything else aside, setting religion aside, setting good works aside, setting baptism aside, setting all the things that men have a tendency to put their trust and faith in, putting it all aside, and then just praying the Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, believe that you are the one that was a sacrifice for my sin. I believe that you died on the cross and that you were smitten of God and punished by God for my sin. And because you are willing to die for my sin and pay for my sin and be put in a tomb and raised from the dead, it's possible that I can be saved if I'll call upon the name of the Lord. May someone do that here tonight, Lord. We thank you for those ladies that were here through the meeting yesterday that may have not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Pray in the days ahead that they will. And if there's someone in this room tonight that has not trusted the Lord yet as their Savior, I pray that they would do it now, even as we close this service tonight, in Jesus' name. Pastor, if you'd come, please.
I'd like you to look this way. Appreciate that message. If you heard that tonight, if you are here, perhaps watching by way of live stream, just watching our services tonight, Holy Spirit's pricked your heart. You realize, you know what, I may be religious, I may know a lot of things, I may sort of be like the people that gave answers. Oh yeah, I think I'm good, I think I understand, but really you don't. You never trusted Christ, and I pray that you'll, right after the service, my wife and I will be probably toward the back or out in the foyer there, Pastor and Miss Jenny will be out there as well. Just like this morning, we had someone ask some questions, they were able to come to the front and talk with them and pray with them. We'd love to be able to do that with you tonight. Don't scoot on out just because you're worried about the schedule, things going on tomorrow. There may not be a tomorrow. And today's the day of salvation. If you're here tonight, you're saved, and you say, praise the Lord, I'm saved, then we have a light. That light has been lit. Have you been keeping it buried, saying, that, well, I just keep it to myself, I'm good? Bible says, let your light so shine. I appreciate that. God spoke to my heart. How far has our light, our purpose, projected testimony gone in our sphere of influence? How far can you go before there's people that you know well that do not know that they've never heard your testimony in one bit? You say, well, my family knows. People here at church knows. Okay, take that. How far has that projected testimony gone? Neighbors? As he mentioned, neighbors? Co-workers, they might know you're a nice person. They might know that you're religious. But how far has that light shone on purpose and you projected that and trusted the Lord to share the gospel and present your testimony, which you can do that very simply with a gospel in it. I pray we would not just be satisfied by coming to church and satisfied with hearing messages and good preaching, but that we would take our light, our testimony, as was mentioned tonight, and purposely share that with those around us. So if God's laid a person, individuals, the faces are right now seared on your mind, the Holy Spirit did that for a purpose. He wants to use you, he wants to use me in sharing the good news, the gospel with them, and he wants us to do it as soon as possible. Because none of us know how long that person will be here on earth, and we don't know how long we'll be here on earth. So may we take this tonight, and let's be dismissed in prayer. Father, thank you for the word that was preached all day today. Thank you for the word that was taught yesterday at the ladies' seminar. Lord, may we not be just hearers of the word, but doers only. Lord, if we're merely hearers, then we are going to be deceived. We're going to pat ourselves on the back spiritually. Lord, we're going to look around and say, well, I don't do all these things. But Lord, we are merely deceiving ourselves into believing that we're pleasing you by simply listening and hearing. Lord, may we be active doers of the word of God, whether it be soul winning, whether it be putting into practice our faith and trust in you, a faithful God. Lord, whatever it may be, I pray that we would put things into practice, trusting you and walking by faith and obedience. Lord, I pray we'd take what we've heard today and not merely leave it in our hearts and our minds, but Lord, we would pass it and project it to others, I pray. Thank you, Lord, so much for those that are here tonight. Give safety to those as they drive home in the dark, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, bless you. Good again. Meet our visitors. Greet those around you. Be safe as you head home tonight.